Hey everybody, welcome to Bacon's Commentary here at commonsenseofbacon.podomatic.com, and I wanted to discuss the December 10th debate in this commentary, and didn't feel like doing it by myself because you all know sometimes I suck at it. So I brought along on the phone, joining me is my good buddy Corey of Corey's Corner, The Conservative Way, and he's multitasking, I think. Yeah, he's peeling eggs and discussing the debate. How much of a multitasker can you get there, folks? That's pretty impressive.
I am a paralegal.
This is true. All right, I want to start with let's start with the first big question that always pops up at the end of every debate. Who won?
Nobody.
Nobody won.
I think that was the worst debate I've seen to date because it was the most attacking going on by each of the fellow Republicans there. And on top of that, everybody had terrible moments in that debate. Usually I like to say that Mitt Romney won, but I thought he had his worst debate of the whole season. And then my second choice would always be Newt Gingrich won, but I think Newt Gingrich had a couple really, really bad moments, especially when they point out that 70% of the people polled still wanted to hear a clarification on his support for individual mandates. After he had explained it already, meaning that he didn't explain it well enough. So, and plus he was under attack all night, and he did a pretty decent job, you know, defending himself. But the big winner of the night, I don't think there was one. I think it was really, if you want to say winner, if I had to pick a winner, I'd say it was probably Michelle Bachmann. And the reason why I say that is because she didn't really flub too much. She showed some courage and going after Mitt and Newt, the two front runners, and with Herman Cain obviously gone. Of course, this is a caveat here. With Herman Cain gone, she's going to be the one to pick up most of the support, I believe.
Well, you know, I gotta say, I mean, you know, everybody who's heard Corey and I through our blog talk show and such, you know, we don't always often disagree, but I gotta disagree with you on that. Yes, Michelle Bachmann showed some courage in going after Newt and Mitt, but here is the problem with it. A lot of her attacks were very misguided. There was this one point when she tried to go, she made these barrage of charges against both Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, none of which are actually even accurate, not even close. And that tells a lot about Michelle Bachmann. She may be strong, but she may not be right, but it doesn't seem that it matters to her.
Well, I agree with you. The thing is, though, every single time somebody's attacked or they launch an attack, I've noticed that there's usually a degree of non-truth to it, a degree of, you know, misguidedness to it, no matter who they're launching the attack on. I see Mitt Romney attack quite often for things I'm still looking for. I don't even know where the hell they're getting these things, such as all these flip-flops. I'm not seeing all these flip-flops. In fact, several different fact-checkers have just come out with an article saying that his flip-flops are greatly exaggerated. But, you know, they try to say that that he pushed socialized medicine in Massachusetts. That's not at all what happened, and that's not the process of it. So this has come from Gingrich, this has come from Perry, this has come from Santorum, it's come from Bachmann. It's a misguided attack, and it seems to be quite common. It's about perception more than anything. Were her attacks on Mitt and Newt accurate? I don't think so. But at the same time, does it portray her as a strong leader who will take on the two big bullies in the race, the two front runners in the race? Yeah. And it helps her perception a little bit. It actually woke up her audience a little bit.
Well, I can see your point there. I do think, though, unfortunately, it will hurt her in the long run, as because basically I think there's an ongoing theme, at least on the conservative side, where people are starting to actually learn about these people before they try to make a decision. And if I think people start looking through what she's saying and saying, well, yeah, you may have made the attack, but you were wrong. You come off basically as an idiot. So.
I'm all my dad. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, quite frankly, I've actually given up on the voting populace to actually really research deeply their candidate and actually use an objective opinion about them, because what I've noticed, anyway, at least on Facebook, I don't know if this is all around, once you get attached to a candidate, that's kind of it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what they do or say.
You want to know something? I gotta tell you, I saw this morning, and I thought this was hilarious. You know what? As you and I are well aware, we are both big Romney supporters, and yet we are constantly supporting, trying to defend Romney. You know what the new thing that I see coming out? Apparently it is against the Mormon faith to make bets, and now people are saying, oh, look, he made the $10,000 bet with Rick Perry. He's going against the principles of his own religion. That's the new thing I saw on Facebook this morning. Which, I'm like, and look, I said on my Facebook status about the debate last night, I thought that that comment, the $10,000 bet thing from Romney, was stupid. It was the dumbest comment he has made in the entire season thus far. But you know what? I'm not looking at it from the standpoint of, oh, he went against it. I mean, it wasn't supposed to be anything. It was supposed to be some sort of off-color comment that a lot of people are, I think, taking the wrong way. And I think that's the reason why I called it a stupid comment, was because I knew people would take it the wrong way. So, I don't know. I think people are just trying to find, you jokingly once called Romney the boogeyman. And I think people are trying to find that still. They're trying to find that boogeyman that everybody's supposed to avoid. Or at least they still think Romney is the boogeyman. I don't know.
Well, let's discuss that moment for a second. Now, I'm actually saying people even who hate Romney defend him on this, saying, okay, let's not take this out before then. It's just a stupid comment.
Mm-hmm.
When he made that, the second he did that, I thought to myself, oh, God, that's not presidential. That was not the presidential thing to do. And I was a little upset with Romney on that one. I'm a Romney supporter, and I thought to myself, you know, why did you do that? All you got to say, like I said, I wish I were a political advisor in his campaign, because all you got to say is there are several fact checkers, PolitiFact, Washington Post, you can name, list them off, who've come out and said that Perry was wrong on what he the first time he charged that. All Romney had to say was, you're alone. You're alone in that accusation because it's not true. And it would have been a hit. But the problem is, he could even have gone as far as to say, if you're willing to lie about my record to get elected, I'm scared of what you'll do as president. He could have said something like that. But at the same time, it's a $10,000 bet. When he should put his hand out there, I was like, oh, God, Romney, why? And then, but Perry, being the flubbing idiot that he is, and I'm sorry, he's the only candidate in this race, I will say, I think is just not that bright. Even while Paul is wrong as he is, he's at least intelligent. But I listen to Rick Perry say, well, I'm not in the betting business. I'm liable. I started just laughing at the fact that he actually pulled me out of the fire a little bit on that one by refusing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it makes you laugh because Mitt was sinking bad there, and then Rick Perry, of all people, pulled him out of the fire by just saying we're refusing. And then a lot of people who were saying this was a bad comment, Mitt did get a positive response when Rick Perry refused it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think you and I were discussing this last night after the debate, and I think you brought up a really good point of you're saying, you know what, Perry, Romney's point was almost kind of like, you know what, Perry, you keep making this point. How about putting your money where your mouth is, and let's see if you can, if you really do you really believe this, or are you just saying it to try to score yourself some points? And you know, and I think to your point of Perry pulling him out of the fire by refusing this bet, and you know, Romney could have maybe done it differently by saying, how about this, I'll give $10,000 to charity or something if you're right, you know, or something like that. He could have spun it in a way to make it a little bit better, but again, the whole idea was trying to say, you know what, Perry, you keep saying this, why don't you prove it? If you prove it, then you know what, 10 grand out of my pocket, and you'll be right, and you can walk away with that knowledge. But Perry, backing away from it, says, you know what, I know it's not, it may not be right, and maybe he's aware of these fact checkers coming out and saying, hey, this is not true, and he knew if he would have tried to agree to something like that, he would have been wrong. And, it says that, it goes again to the point you were just saying, what, you know, if Perry's going to go that far to hurt somebody else's record, what would he say about his own? And so, I don't know, I think it's kind of a, it was a...
Perry has repeatedly tried to build up his own record in Texas. Here's the truth about Rick Perry. This is why I am not a Rick Perry supporter. And I actually liked him at first. It's because he's doing the same thing with Texas that's always been done, whether Democrat or Republican. They have a very limited government in Texas, according to their state constitution. And he added actually fewer jobs than George W. Bush's predecessor. He's really not doing anything that's, shall we say, you know, population growth, because, you know, how many illegal aliens are going to let into the state. And people have been moving there, 5 million in the last 10 years, to be exact, to Texas. He created only half the jobs to accommodate those people, whereas only 6,000 people moved to Massachusetts in the time that Mitt Romney was governor, and he created 10 times the amount of jobs that there were people, a population growth.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that's a better record, especially in an extremely liberal environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as the debate goes last night, I called, I think I texted you, Rick Perry was the Talking Point Machine 2000.
Yes. On sale for $34.99.
Exactly. Well, that's what he is. I mean, he is the biggest conservative talking point in this race. I have yet to hear anything innovative out of him, or any new ideas, or anything anything in regard to Rick Perry that is like, wow, that's substantive, what he just said. No, it's all, well, we gotta get D.C. out of the government. We need an outsider to go into government and to fix government. Because I've been doing that in Texas for 11 years now. I mean, that's Rick Perry.
It's a pretty accurate Rick Perry at that. Let me ask real quickly, to kind of shift gears here. I want to talk about, you mentioned earlier that you felt there were no real winners here because of the fact that all they were doing was attacking each other. I was thinking that's something that ABC was trying to get going. I think they wanted to see some fireworks. They wanted them to go after each other. I think this has been the biggest debate thus far as attacks are concerned. I think out of the season thus far, I've only missed 2 debates. And I think this debate had probably more attacks on fellow candidates out of all of them thus far. I want to bring up in particular a specific line that Gingrich brought up, because I thought it was kind of a cheap shot. And this is also a big deal because Gingrich made a big deal early on saying, I'm not going to go attacking fellow Republicans. The media wants me to attack my fellow Republicans, and I'm not going to do it. And then last night he brings out this cheap shot against Romney, that whole, you would have been a career politician if you hadn't lost Ted Kennedy thing. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I want to get your take on this, but I really believe that was just it was a cheap shot. It was a low blow. It was below a Gingrich to make a comment like that. And I'm kind of surprised that he made it personally.
I actually have to disagree with you again on this one. I don't think it was a cheap shot. I think it's a legitimate point. I made that point about Herman Cain several times, where Herman Cain would say, I'm not a career politician. And then he would say, 999. But then he would say, I'm not a career politician. But it's not for a lack of trying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he ran for president in 2000. He ran for the Senate in Georgia in 2004, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
He has tried to win elections. The only difference between he and everybody else on that stage is everybody else on that stage has won elections. I think it's a fair point to bring up. However, I think Mitt Romney handled it extremely well.
Yeah.
By saying the best thing that could... Oh, the football comment was hilarious, first of all. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Where he said, if I had gotten in the NFL, I'd have been a football star. I mean, it's the what-if scenario. He actually, even countered my point about Herman Cain really well. So, but when he said, losing to Ted Kennedy was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because I went back to the private sector, it was a great recovery.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get stung by it. I mean, he was obviously offended by it. But he was smart to say, you know what, go ahead and speak. Let him speak, and then he went right after Newt again.
Mm-hmm.
And he went toe-to-toe with him. So I actually, Dick Morris actually had a lot of really, really nice things to say about what Mitt Romney did last night, going toe-to-toe with Newt Gingrich, which everybody perceives as to be the best debater. I'd argue that he is, with one flaw. He says really incendiary things for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. We'll get to that later, though. I you know what comment I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do know what comment you're talking about. My big thing was he could have made a... He could have probably put it in a totally different way. And this is kind of... I guess this is a good way to kind of transition to the comment you wanted to talk about. You know, it's not the fact that maybe he made... Maybe it's a legitimate point. It's the way he made the point that I think was kind of low. You know, he did it in such a way that was almost like he did it in an insulting manner. Like he was trying, and I'm going to steal some phrases you've used before, he was trying to egg him on a little bit. And I think that's the problem. The comment you wanted to talk about was the stir he made last week. We're talking about Gingrich here, just to remind people. He made the comment about the Palestinians being an invented people, and that sparked a big portion of the debate last night. And you wanted to make some points about that, so I'll let you say what you need to say.
Well, I like what Gingrich said in the sense that he said it's time that we tell the truth about these people. I think the Israelis would appreciate that. I think some of the Israelis do. At the same time, as Mitt Romney pointed out, you're not running to be a historian, you're running to be president. And the president has to show some restraint. Even Rick Santorum, who I think is the biggest truth teller on that stage, in my opinion, he'll tell you exactly what he thinks, what he's always thought, and he'll show you the record to back it up. I have all the respect in the world for Santorum, even when he attacked my guy. The only problem with Santorum is obviously his personality. We'll get to that later. But he even vindicated Romney on this to say, you know what, you got to show some restraint. You can't just make these comments like this. I mean, you're actually putting... I mean, just because Israel's already at risk, like Gingrich correctly pointed out, doesn't mean you say things, you can say anything you want, and put them even at greater risk, and stir it up even further.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made the comment about Reagan calling the Soviet Union the evil empire. It's not the same thing as saying these people are invented people. Calling them terrorists is the same thing as saying the evil empire comment. And not to mention, if you're going to go that far to say, well, it's time we tell the truth, and you know what, then tell me about your covert CIA operations. Tell me about everything else that we don't know about, that you show restraint on as a president. I mean, he said, you know, talking from a historical fact. Well, what's a historical fact I agree with? At the same time, I think Romney did too. I think they all did on that stage, except for Ron Paul. Well, Ron Paul was all over the place on that comment. And he personally said, I don't agree with it, but historically, it's true. But I mean, I think the president has to show some restraint when it comes to these types of issues.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's one of the... Gingrich is an extremely intelligent and qualified man to be president. But that's one of his flaws. Because sometimes he'll make a comment like, oh, why did you say that?
Well, I'll tell you Gingrich's other big flaw, and I pointed it out again when we were discussing it after the debate last night, is that he's smug. He's smug. He's so arrogant, you know. And I mean, you always know about people who are arrogant in the way that, and you almost know when they kind of deserve to be arrogant. But even the people who deserve to be arrogant, they at least kind of know how to not make it a big deal, you know. And Gingrich knows. I'm smart, I've studied this stuff, I understand it, I can go into detail on it, and he knows it, and he's smug about it. And I mean, we've already got someone who's smug in the White House, and, you know, we're going to have a smug-off 2012 if Gingrich does end up being the nominee between these two arrogant people. Granted, you know, the arrogance of Gingrich, like I said, is earned, but is it really necessary to come off so smug?
Gingrich is walking a fine line from being smug to being confident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're written to be confident. The man knows more about history than probably all of us combined. He can rattle it off like he just got done reading a history book on that exact subject. I look at it and I actually say Obama's smugness is more offensive than what Gingrich is. And the reason why I say it is because Gingrich can actually, he'll start quoting history that'll make it like, okay, like you said, he earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Obama will make gaffe after gaffe, make stupid comment after stupid comment, and then act smug about it. I think Gingrich has got to learn how to tone it down a little bit and be more, I liked it when he was being complimentary of all of his colleagues there. And he was more endearing, but when he gets to be, well, of course, you know, he has to defend himself. I'm not saying he shouldn't do that, but when he gets to be a little bit, like, to the point where I know more than everybody else, I get it. Dick Morse pointed this out a few months ago, actually. It's not as endearing as I should say. But that being said, I don't blame him for acting smug when he defended himself, because Michelle Bachmann leveled some claims, as we pointed out earlier, leveled some claims at him that just were blatantly inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really notice it until after I started thinking about it after you had brought it up, and I didn't notice it. I guess I didn't notice it initially, but that was one of those points, you know, for those unaware. Basically, when Bachman went on her barrage of things that Newt and Mitt Romney supposedly supported, she was going to say they supported Obamacare, but kind of caught herself and then said, and then added, what was it, principles?
Yeah. They support Obamacare principles, that's how she said it.
Yeah.
And I started laughing immediately. We were texting, so you wouldn't notice, but I started laughing. I said, she caught herself. She was so wanting to go to say they support Obamacare. Because that's really what her whole platform is about, is getting rid of Obamacare. But you can't do that and claim to... you can't do that and separate yourself from everybody else on that stage.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm going to jump back to several months ago. I don't remember which debate it was, but I remember there was one debate in particular where Mitt Romney came right out after a healthcare question. He said, "I think everyone on this stage shares the same view that we need to repeal Obamacare." And you know, the fact that everybody, because nobody really attacks Gingrich. Or not Gingrich, yeah, but more Romney anymore. Nobody really attacks Romney anymore about healthcare. Rick Perry tried to do it last night, but as you said, it kind of didn't work out the way he was hoping. But
his attack was feeble and it was pathetic.
Yeah, but nobody else is doing that, and I think the reason why is because they've all come to that exact same conclusion that Mitt Romney said months ago, which was we're all trying to repeal Obamacare. Why is it that Bachman hasn't gotten on that train yet? It's kind of amazing.
Because she has nothing else. What does she have on Romney? What does she have on Gingrich?
Well, I mean, even better question, actually, is what does she have at all, if you think about it? Because you think about it, out of everybody on that stage, she's got the least amount of experience at this point. She's only been in Congress for 6 years. Didn't she serve maybe as a school board, on the school board in her local area of Minnesota before she became a congresswoman?
I'm not that familiar with her extensive history. I just know her congressional history.
Well, I had read a little bit about her because the Weekly Standard did a big article about her when she was a front runner several months ago, and I remember reading about it and it said that she was I know she worked something specifically for something related to schools in Minnesota in her local community, but then she basically had nothing else between that and becoming a congresswoman. So you've got barely any real experience in major government from Michelle Bachman. Like I said, least experience on that stage. And then she's got her background as a tax attorney, which I guess is nice, obviously. But at the same time, by the way, I want to make a real point. People keep forgetting about this. They like to point out Newt Gingrich's flip-flops or Mitt Romney's flip-flops. Do not forget, ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Bachman voted for Jimmy Carter. Okay? She was a staunch Jimmy Carter supporter. Matter of fact, her boyfriend from college and her drove to D.C. for Carter's inauguration, according to that Weekly Standard article. So, I don't want to hear any more about flip-flops. All of them have made mistakes, and they've all figured it out. So, shut up about that. Anyway.
Ron Paul, most consistent.
Yes, exactly. Ron Paul, most consistent. By the way, I want to get to that question real fast. I got to say, I hated that question. That they tried. It was the biggest gotcha question of the night, I think, which was, which one of you is the most consistent conservative? And of course, every single one of them thinks they're the most consistent conservative, and then they're going to give a variety, and all it did was just, it just sparked the fight. That's all it did. It was such a ridiculous question. I use the point with Michelle Bachman. She says, oh, the most consistent conservative. You've been in office for 6 years.
I agree. And they're all going to say this, and all going to say they're the most consistent conservative. But it was obviously a gotcha type. I'm going to make us fight type question. But at the same time, really, it was a chance for the candidates, in my opinion, to say, "I think we're all pretty good conservatives up here."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have been the most daring thing because it just becomes stupid when you're trying to say, "I'm the most consistent. I'm the most consistent because you all have screw ups in your career. You all have screw ups in your quote unquote consistent conservatism. And quite frankly, in my opinion, if I were on that stage and they asked me, I'd have said, I feel pretty consistent. Whether or not you want to say I'm more consistent than somebody else is up to the voters. Mm-hmm. That would have been the answer.
Yeah.
And nobody thought to say something like that because they're all right now getting out of crunch time. They all want to prove themselves better than the other one, especially people like Bachman.
Yeah.
What do you think was the best fight of the night?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, it's a hard question to really answer because I understand why they should be. I understand challenging each other, and challenging each other I think is good because eventually one of them is going to be the nominee, one of them is going to get challenged by Obama and the DNC and the biggest friggin' ad campaign you could possibly imagine, and they're going to need to be ready for those kinds of challenges. So I don't mind them being challenged, but that last night was the first time, as I said, that I really felt like they were pushing them to be fighting. And I just have a huge problem with that. I guess the most interesting little challenge of the night, I guess, would have to be between Romney and Gingrich, and it started with Gingrich's little cheap shot. I think that's where it kind of started, because they went back and forth. They actually let the two of them go back and forth for quite some time, and then somewhere in there, I think that's when Bachman got involved, and it became, you know, the most disgusting three-way ever imagined. And
why did you do that?
I don't know. It's the only thought that came to my mind, which says horrible things about my mind. But you know, the fact of the matter is that I don't mind them challenging each other. I think it's healthy. I don't like them being pushed to fight. And I'm really, to be honest with you, I'm kind of disappointed with Romney because he's been very good at staying out of that. I mean, he's been challenged in the past, but he's always been able to kind of hold his own without it becoming a kind of a fight. And I'm especially disappointed in Gingrich because Gingrich was the one who said early on he wasn't going to submit to that. And now, it's like, did he forget to add in? It's like an Animal Farm addendum, if you will, you know, or amendment, if you will. Where it's like, he says, I'm not going to fight my fellow candidates unless I'm the front runner in Iowa. I mean, was that the missing link that we totally forgot was in there? So I felt like it was kind of a disappointing thing, personally.
Well, truthfully, Gingrich has been kind of egging Romney for a couple months now. It hasn't been, you know, just recently. I mean, he's been saying, I'm more conservative than Romney. Romney's a little too Rockefeller. Romney's this, Romney's that. People would say that's not an attack, but it is, and they're all hitting each other, and even Gingrich is going to succumb to it. I mean, they all kind of have to at some point, and that's why a lot of people were saying for months, why weren't anybody attacking Romney?
Mm-hmm.
And this is my opinion on that. A lot of people would say, why don't they attack Romney? Well, because they're not going to take Romney's voters. You know what? You know what's a good way to impress conservatives who hate Romney? By attacking Romney. And if you attack Romney, you're gonna get on their good side. So, I mean, no matter what, attacking Romney actually adds to the equation of you getting elected by conservatives. Now, my biggest beef is with the conservative movement right now, how it is such a fickle movement, mm-hmm. flip-flopping all over the place. They call Romney a flip-flopper, but this movement, unlike people like my friend, our friend, David Cholesterol, who has been a staunch Newt supporter pretty much his entire life,
mm-hmm.
or as long as Newt has been, you know, in the public eye, I notice a lot of people now who, you know, didn't like him a few months ago. Now all of a sudden, he's the next Reagan, and it makes me laugh. It really does, because you know they talk about consistency. Where is their consistency?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the consistency that you know who you want, you stay with them? I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I fail to believe that all these Pawlenty people went to Gingrich. So, I you know, maybe the Herman Cain people now are having to look for somebody else, and I understand that, but. I mean, look at the movement and the polls. It's gone from, what, Bachman to Perry to Kane, now Gingrich. It's kind of unbelievable in a sense that you can't pick your candidate.
Yeah. You know, and I hate to toot our own horns here, but you and I have been pretty strong Romney supporters for a number of years, and we've been very good at defending Romney. Yeah, but I also want to throw in another point that's important for both you, me, and also we'll throw in David Cholesterol as well, is the fact that the three of us are reasonable enough to understand that if our preferred candidate is not the nominee, we're willing to back whoever is. And that's something else that's so important to remember, you know, and I mean, this is almost becoming the next Ron Paulism, because I'm seeing it more and more, where people will say, I can't vote for this person because, and I can't vote for this person because, and it's kind of like, but you're saying that if it's down between, like, even Rick Perry, you know, and I think you and I agree that Rick Perry, we'd probably have to plug our noses, but I'd vote for Rick Perry if he were the nominee, because I'm pretty much aware of what's going to happen with another 4 years of Obama, and I'm not willing to put our country through that.
I agree. I completely agree with that. It's frustrating that, because, you know, we have, I'll make an example, a local election. I supported in a Republican primary a man by the name of Nathan McDonnell.
Mm-hmm.
He lost to Fred Costello. It was nothing against Fred Costello. I just thought Nathan more ideologically lined up with me. And I disagree with Fred on some things. Fred ended up winning, and he ended up winning pretty handily. What did I do? Did I cry about it? Did I sit out the election and didn't vote for Fred? No, I voted for Fred Costello.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the types of things. I mean, Fred made a speech the night of the election. He said, yeah, we've all been bickering for a long time, but we really have to come back together as a family. And he's right. And it's right for a national stage as well.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come together as the Republican family. Oh, I'm sick of Republicans. They keep pushing. See, we get this notion in our heads, at least many of us do. I don't really believe this, but that it's you pushing people on us. Listen, folks, Bacon and I, we live in Florida. We have seen a candidate pushed on us.
Yes.
And Bill McCollum. We have witnessed it firsthand, and I can give you all the evidence in the world that's exactly what it was. We had the RPOM chairman a year before the primary, introduced Bill McCollum as our next governor. And the primary hadn't even gone on yet. We didn't even have a choice. So when people say the GOP is pushing this person or that person down our throats, I laugh. I say, you have no idea what you're talking about. None. You have seven choices up there. Eight if you want to count Gary Johnson. Nine if you want to count Buddy Romer. You have seven choices on that stage, and they're all pretty fairly conservative. Now, you might nitpick one or two. I've heard a couple of my friends on Facebook say, Newt and Romney are both rhinos. Don't give me a break. Give me a freaking break. So, I look at it and say, you know what? In my mind, Romney is the most qualified man to run for president in a very long time. That doesn't mean he'll win, and it doesn't mean conservatives will accept him. And if they don't, then I just have to accept that, because I'm sure many, many other millions of Republicans feel that way,
mm-hmm.
when their candidate has lost. So we have to just take it, look at it for what it is, narrow it down race by race, and once it gets to the general, figure out who's better for the country, the GOP nominee or Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That should be your train of thought. Right now, who's better for the country between all these Republican candidates, and then later on, who's better for the nation?
You know,
I
want to take your example another step further of candidates being quote unquote pushed on people. All I have to do is say two little words, and you know where I'm going to go with it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Marco Rubio.
There you go.
I mean, Charlie Crist was supposed to get handed the nomination for that Senate seat, and then he was supposed to be handed the Senate seat itself, and then out of nowhere comes this one guy. You know, didn't he start down, he was like maybe 50 points down in the polls when he first put his 2% polling when he first started, and then he came out to win a legitimate three-man race with 50% of the vote in Florida. That is unheard of. You know, and I do not, so that's why I agree with you as well. I don't buy into this establishment candidate crap anymore, because let me tell you something. The establishment, whether or not you want to talk about an establishment or not, is irrelevant, because the establishment doesn't matter. If the people find someone that they believe is the one who can do the job and who can properly convey their message in a way that people can get it, that person's going to win. And that's what it comes down to. And Marco Rubio is the best example of that. He is easily the best example of that. He took on the establishment, quote unquote. He won, and he got so far ahead in the polls for the primaries that Charlie Crist had to leave the party completely in order to try to even get a shot at the Senate. And he still lost. to Marco Rubio. Really badly. So, you know, I don't buy into this establishment stuff anymore. Because, like I said, I think the people, if they find someone they can hold on to and they can agree with and they can support, they're going to support them. It doesn't matter if they're quote-unquote establishment or not. All right, Corey, we're going to wrap this up here. Do you got any final thoughts about this debate in general or any other thoughts?
Well, about the debate in general, if I'm pulling for my guy Mitt Romney, I want him to at least have one more debate to come out swing. Because I want him to finish as well as he can in Iowa, and I want him to go on to win New Hampshire. However, I don't think the Donald Trump debate is going to help anybody per se, but about this debate in general, the candidates need to remember it's Obama is the target, not each other. Stop giving the DNC fodder to fight each other against. That's the way I look at it. Just stop fighting amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I think that's actually well stated, and it's an important point. And you know, it's like I said, that was Gingrich's point at the very beginning. It was one Romney was doing very well sticking to, and you know, now all of a sudden, I guess the gloves are off, and you know, and I gotta say, I want to say along with you about the Trump debate. I want to wait and see how it comes off, but I'm gonna put it this way: if it becomes a circus, like a lot of people feel like it's going to be, I think it is going to be a horrible decision. For those who decide to be a part of it. Right now, I think there's only two have accepted it, right? Just Gingrich and Santorum,
Gingrich,
right?
Yeah, Santorum, I believe.
Was there a third name in there? I think I missed that.
I think Santorum did.
Santorum did, okay. Yeah, I know Santorum has, and I know Gingrich has.
Huntsman, I'm pretty sure has.
Huntsman has not. Huntsman has declined.
Oh, well, that's just Gingrich and Santorum.
Yeah, so Huntsman's declined, Romney's declined, Paul has declined. As far as I know, I have not heard about Perry or Bachman at this point. So they're still up in the air.
They're gonna hook on phonics. Some are gonna do.
Oh goodness! All right, well, Corey, I want to thank you for taking your time to, you know, while making eggs to come and join me.
I actually finished my deviled eggs.
Oh, sweet! All right, well, that means we're gonna go. That means I'm gonna be at Corey's place very soon. Hopefully, to feast on a few of them before they all get, you know, completely destroyed. And.
For those of you
who don't know, Corey makes great deviled eggs.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Very good deviled eggs. I don't know if he does anything else, if he cooks anything else, but ladies, deviled eggs. He's got them. That was corny. I'm sorry. This has been Bacon's Commentary at commonsensewithbacon.podomatic.com. Thanks for joining myself, Corey. Thank you. And we will talk to you all very soon.
Goodbye, everybody.